Chapter 3. So how will you know that I'm not just making all this up? So how do I know that my horse is really communicating with me? How do I know that I don't just have an over-vivid imagination? How do you know whether I'm some kind of nut or not? How will you know whether your horse is really communicating with you? That's a lot easier than you think. Our horses give us a physical sign that we've got it right, that we've understood each other. They lick and chew and they do it consistently. They give us the chew when they understand us. They give us the chew when we understand them. You'll see this in a practical context throughout the book. Everything that we do with our horse, we wait for the chew before we move on to asking for the next thing. And we wait for the chew for four hugely important reasons. Number one, they give us the chew when they get it. Number two, they give us the chew when we get it. It's a physical signal of understood communication. The chew is so important that I put it in capital letters throughout the whole book in order to emphasize the importance of it. Waiting for it is possibly the most important and productive time you are ever going to spend with your horse. Waiting for the chew gives our horse time to process all the thoughts, old traumas, old buried emotions and resistance unlocked by whatever it is that we're working on. It's when waiting for the chew is giving time for the healing process that is taking place. That's the third reason to wait for the chew. I've noticed that many horses going through this healing process have a sleepy look on their face, and you'll notice small, uncontrolled muscle movements, even tiny jerks of their body. Their head may drop a little bit suddenly every now and again. And if they were a sleeping person, you would think they were dreaming, and maybe they are. This healing time is the most valuable time you'll ever spend with your horse. If they do a lot of it, notice the changes that happen to their muscles, to their shape, to their entire body. It is extraordinary. The fourth reason for waiting for the chew, no matter how long it takes, is for us to release resistance or old trauma. I've kind of missed the point in the past when I've been standing there going, ho-hum, and waiting for the chew, thinking that it's like watching paint dry. I've way too often missed the opportunity for me to heal, for me to process the thoughts and ideas and old buried feelings that will allow me to heal. If I'd been tuned into my horse, connected in the way that we describe here in Zen Connection with Horses, then I too could have spent that time productively processing my own stuff and releasing old resistances, healing old traumas, and changing old behavior patterns that aren't so useful anymore. If I had been tuned into my horse while I waited for the chew, I too would have noticed the relaxation that came to my mind and my muscles and the body changes that happened as I healed. This has been a huge part of other people's experience with this Zen connection with their horse. While I'm waiting for the chew, I personally don't pat them, don't feed them, or in any way disturb the thinking and processing. I've checked this out with many horses now, but you're quite welcome to check it out for yourself. I don't even like to think about what I'm going to cook for dinner or what to say to my friend when I see her next. I found that just being with my horse in that deep, quiet place is the most effective way for me to work. Although walking away and leaving them for some time, even days in some circumstances, can be a very valuable thing to do, walking away when you're allowing time for the chew doesn't seem to produce the same results. In my experience, waiting for the chew is a time for being with your horse, a time for a quiet sinking into their mind, a time for true connection, a time to listen and understand anything that comes up, whatever that may be. We bought a new racehorse recently, Desert Moon. Her pet name is Sunny. She'd been started, had two preps, and broken down by the time she was 2.5 years old. Like many horses, there was a whole bunch of very ordinary things that she didn't know how to do in her comfort zone, like hold her feet up for her hooves to be trimmed. In her case, she was downright dangerous, with her foot slamming down at the speed of light with incredible force. Cat, our two-legged, and human, hoof trimmer extraordinaire, was teaching Sunny that she could hold each foot up gently and happily and still be mentally with us. There was a point on each foot when it seemed like we were just standing around waiting for the chew forever. Sunny was just standing there too, looking really sleepy and doing that healing process, her body jerking a little bit every now and again. She was so out of it that we could have been forgiven for thinking that there was nobody home. Just before Sunny chewed, a whoosh of emotion went through her and us as she released a whole heap of trauma that seemed to be locked into those feet. I'm the type these days who cries easily, but Kat isn't, and we both had tears pouring down our face with the strength of that emotion. From that point on, with each of the front feet, Kat was able to hold a conversation with Sunny about how she could hold her foot up politely. Then it was possible to trim that foot relatively easily. Feet trimming for Sunny was the source of many breakthroughs that all happened because we waited for the chew at each tiny baby step forward. She's used the chew to tell us that we've heard and understood her. She's used it to tell us that she's heard and understood us. And she's used the time waiting for the chew to heal great trauma. You'll hear more about those breakthroughs later. The chew really is worth waiting for.